can be healed. Cause I'm so callous, now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken.
Good evening, good evening. It is a Friday evening, and it's, as we call it, it is now time for a sermon, and I'm glad that you two are here. Yes, Fred, you know, we hardly have anybody left here because Beth is out of town right now, so technically it's only been you, Beth, and RW, basically been showing up besides Sarah and Rachel. You know, every now and then they're hit and miss. So, like I was telling RW, you know, I'm going to probably be doing some thinking on this, but most likely I may be making a change. I'm probably going to stop preaching on Friday nights here on Discord, and I may just switch to doing sermons on Friday Night Live on Facebook, because at least for the time being, that will reach more of an audience than we are here, because basically we're not growing. You know, people, I don't understand it. I don't know if you can see it, but I know y'all can't see it very well. But see this tablet? Page after page after page after page. Just going back 3 months, 400 names. 400. 400 names came into this chat. Where is everybody? They join, and that's it. They don't say nothing. They don't talk. They don't do much of nothing. Most of this, I think, is just spam bots, to be honest. But we got some new people here that do come in, that do say a little bit, you know, because that's what that experience thing is, because I'm keeping track of who's talking. And they're on different time zones in the UK and all stuff, so that's why they can't be here tonight. So that's understandable. So, you know, I'm going to give this some thought, and I'm most likely going to just start doing, you know, live sermons on Friday nights on Facebook. You know, Lisa, you can still post on it, even though if I'm doing it on Facebook. But at least, you know, that gives an opportunity for anybody who sees it on Facebook can join right away instead of going through the process of joining this. So anyway, but I'm glad that you are here because, again, we got another wonderful message. And, in fact, this is part three of the previous messages I've been preaching on in the last few weeks. Last week we had the flood, so I couldn't preach on Friday because there was a lot going on. And even though I got here in time Friday, I was tired, I was wore out. Well, as soon as I came home from helping my mom and dad doing what I had to do, my internet was down. That of all things. So, but anyway, I'm glad that you're here. Give me an amen to make sure this is working okay. The mic, you can hear me? Okay, all right. Well, I want you to know, folks, you know, those of you who've been here, in the last two sermons that I have spoken about was a Christian attitude and how that we should demonstrate the right attitude with the right mindset. And because of this mindset, our Christian behavior should be demonstrated accordingly. Wouldn't you think? Well, I mentioned to y'all that following Jesus meant that we are to change. And yes, we do change. If we're submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're submitting to Him, we will change. There's no doubt, folks, you will change. Like I always say, some people are like little turtles. They change slowly. Some people are like rabbits. Pew, they're real fast. Some people are medium, in between. But we change. But, you know, when I say that we change, folks, we are transformed into looking like Jesus. Being more like Him, as I said in previous sermons, being more like Him in our ABCs. And y'all remember, if you can remember, which are attitudes, behavior, and character. Well, when thinking about this message tonight, you know, to tie it in, and I had to give this some deep thought, friends. When thinking about this message, my thoughts were this. And hear me carefully, please. If you and I could see ourselves as God sees us, we, you and I, will rise up and never be the same again. Think about that. If you can see yourself as God sees you, you will never be the same again. And that was some deep thought for me because I started thinking about, are we really looking at ourselves as God sees us, or are we just looking at ourselves? Folks, I really think, to be honest with all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, if we were to switch that role and look at us as God sees us, we will never be the same. We would change. That was a lot for me to think about, folks. So listen to the story, and that's why I want to follow up with that comment. Listen to the story about a person named Ruben Gonzalez. Was in the first professional racquetball tournament. An unknown who was playing the world champion. It was the fourth and final game, and it was match point. Gonzalez made a killer shot into the front wall to win the game. The referee called the shot good. The line judge confirmed that the shot was in. But Gonzalez, after a moment's hesitation, he turned around, walked over to his opponent, shook his hand, and declared that his shot had hit the floor first. As the result, he lost the match. The crowd was stunned. as he walked off the floor. Everything was officially in his favor. He had the victory, but he chose to disqualify himself because he knew the truth. He chose to disqualify himself because he knew the truth. And when asked why he did what he did, he replied, "It was the only thing I can do to maintain my integrity." Wow. And he said, "There will always be another match to win, but I can never regain my lost integrity." Character. Character, folks. There are people out there who have it, and I'm privileged and honored to know a few. I really am. It's an honor and privilege to know people who has true character. People who will not sell out for nothing, will not cave in, will not turn, but they hold high value to integrity. People who hold high standards when it comes to moral and ethics and fairness and honesty, trust and faithfulness, and such people who are not valued enough in our culture today. As Lisa just said, how many others would have done that? That takes character, real character. See, folks, I don't know if you like me, but lately I've been changing. And I've been examining my own character. And as I said earlier, I've been examining my own behaviors. And as I said earlier, I've been examining my own attitudes. And you know what? I found out they were not lining up with God's standards. So it had to change. It was not what I was claiming to be. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of God. It's high time that I start acting like it. And folks, these things I just mentioned, we value abilities, personalities, positions, and power and achievement is applauded rather than a substance. What works more than personal character? People are chasing those things rather than personal character. If you got your Bibles, you know, we're going to be reading in here. It's going to be Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 28. That's what got me thinking of all this. Matthew 23, verse 25 to 28 says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this subject right here kind of really hit close to home. I know it was interrupted last week. The enemy was trying his best to stop this. But, you know, it is what it is. I was not going to come unglued. I said, you know what? Maybe that was not the day to preach this message. Maybe someone was going to show up today that might need to hear this message. I don't know. All I know is I follow you and listen to you and obey you. Father, I know in today's time, many people out there are calling themselves Christians, but their attitudes and their behavior and their character I'm not seeing much of it no more. I don't see Christ in them. I see something else. And as Jesus just pointed out to these Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, calling them hypocrites, I'm starting to wonder how many out there are hypocrites. They're claiming to be followers of Christ, but yet they will not submit their lives to Christ. They want to give a little bit to you, but not all to you. And as I was reminded this morning, all is all. Everything must be everything. We can't hang on to a little. We can't keep picking up that garbage. We got to get rid of it all. We got to just surrender everything to you and let your Christ-like character change us. As I just mentioned earlier, Father, if we can see ourselves as you see us, I think we will radically change our attitudes, our behaviors, and character. As a something to think about a lot, I'm just going down the path that you set forth before me, and you showed me some things that still needs to be worked on. I'm glad for that. So I ask you to bless those who are here tonight, those who couldn't be here for whatever reason, you deal with them. Father, put a protective hedge around these folks here tonight. They're here. I know we shouldn't be looking at numbers, but you know, again, I'm just doing what I'm feeling led to do, you know, and if we got to take a different turn or something, well, we're going to see about what we're going to do. But the word is still going to be preached. The message is still going to be preached. And I was reminded of, you know, of a fellow I was talking to, a pastor in Germany, how he was talking to me when he said he was pastoring a church, and the church just got down to one person. And he was about to say, you know what, I guess it's time to close the doors. But that one person was faithful every Sunday, showing up and showing up and showing up. And he thought about, you know, well, it's just one person. I'm still going to close the door. But he decided, no, I'm going to still keep ministering to that one person. Well, long before you know it, that church is now 300 people. His faith, his faithfulness rang true. His character showed what kind of man he really was. So, Father, again, thank you for giving us this opportunity to get together, to gather together, and use this technology to get the word out. We want to thank you for everything that you have done for our lives. And, yes, sometimes changes do come, and it's hard to make changes, and it's hard to adjust to it. But sometimes it's the path that we may need to walk because you might have other plans for us. So we thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Well, John Job, I don't know if you're in the room, because there is two rooms that you have to be in, the sermon audio and the sermon text chat. The sermon text chat, this is where you can type, say what you want, amen, stuff like that. You know, the sermon audio is how you hear me, so welcome. I hope that you hear me. I don't know if you're in the other room or not, but if you are, again, welcome and good to see a new face being here. This is Friday night. We do sermons every Friday night. And as always, there goes my voice, as always. But y'all already seen the title. I used the robot, or we call it the bot. And the title of this message tonight is A Christian's Character. Now, my question to you. Who are you? Listen to this. And those of you who's listening to this message, because it is being recorded. Who are you when no one is looking? What? That's right. Who are you when no one is looking? That's something to ponder on, isn't it? Well, in our message, we're going to cover some observations regarding personal character. And that's why I read a story about this guy, you know, about what he did. You know, he showed true integrity. He showed true character. Like I said, everything was in his favor, but he knew it wasn't. That's an honorable thing to do. That's the kind of character I want to live up to. So we're going to look at several observations tonight. The first observation number one is, Christian character is what you are, not what you appear to be. Observation one, Christian character is what you are, not what you appear to be. Now, I can cut this short and say, well, many of us appear to be Christians, but are we truly Christians? Many of you can probably say, well, look, I know some people claiming to be followers of Christ, but they're not really following Christ. In fact, they're following something else. So, and the reason why I say this, folks, because again, appearances can be so deceiving. Appearances can be deceiving. Here's a story about a lady who appeared to be 8 to 9 months pregnant, working her way through a local supermarket, who, when she left the store, went to her car, proceeded to give birth to a pound of butter, a chuck roast, pancake syrup, 2 tubes of toothpaste, and 4 candy bars. Folks, looks can be deceiving, even at a church. Because who you appear to be on Sunday has nothing to do with who you are the other 6 days a week. And yes, we can talk for hours about preachers and elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers, Christian college teachers and administrators, Christian service workers who were to believe to be one thing and were found out to be something else. You see, my friends, and you may recognize some of these names I'm fixing to mention. The world in the past has witnessed people like Jim Jones. Now, that should be a name many of us should know, but if not, but we have witnessed people like him, Jim Jones, David Koresh, or how about the so-called Pearly Gates? I don't know if you don't know what the Pearly Gate is, the Kool-Aid man, yeah, there you go. The Pearly Gates, look, here's some facts I dug up on this. I was trying to use this as an illustration. 13 million viewers, 173 million in annual revenues, a 2,300-acre theme park ranked only behind Disney World and Disneyland in attendance. Or the RCC, which stands for Roman Catholic Church, throughout 2002, one priest after another charged with sexual abuse. This is why, listeners, please pay attention to this. Folks, you are here tonight, pay attention to this. This is why I encourage you to read Matthew 23, 25 through 28. Read it carefully. Read it carefully. I want you to read that very carefully because you've seen this also in the lives of others. They, or even you, can be one thing in the public. You can be one thing before your family, one thing before your friends at church, but something else in private. See, Joe Kennedy once told his boys, Jack, John, and Robert, and even Ted, this is what he said, what counts is not what you are, but what you appear to be. 1 Samuel 16:17 says this. Pay attention to that passage there very carefully. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Remember when Samuel, he went to Jesse to anoint the new king over the nation of Israel? And here we see that the Lord, he does not look at the things that man looks at, meaning outward appearance. but the Lord looks at the heart. Folks, character is a Joseph who was sold to slavery and tempted to sin in a situation where no one would know. He knew who he was, and he maintained his personal character. A Daniel who could not do what the king demanded because that was not who he was. A Nathaniel who could have the very thought of his heart critiqued by the master, and it was clean, pure, and noble. Again, my friends, character is about who you are, not what you appear to be. Character is not cosmetics. Character is who you are when no one is looking and only you know. Observation number two. Christian character is about who you are at the core. Christian character is who you are at the core. And when the Bible talks about the core of our being, it is talking about our heart. How so? Look what Proverbs 23:7 says. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Folks, Jesus himself even said this, a good man out of good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. Folks, character has to do what goes on deep down in that place that the Bible calls the heart. We are talking about our intentions, how we are disposed to live, the set of our sails, the desires, the motives, the habits of our hearts. One true character is sometimes exposed, and they have to admit their sins and the inconsistency in their talk and their walk. Then you wonder if what comes from their mouth actually came from their heart. Now, real people of character do make mistakes. Get this right. Real people of character do make mistakes. And when they do, they confess it, correct it, and change their ways. Remember this, folks. Real people of character, when they make mistakes or sin, they confess it, they correct it, and change their ways. Why do I know this to be true? You're looking at it. I thought my character was what I claimed to be. But my character was not what I was saying to be. I had to confess it. Had to correct it. Now I'm changing the ways. You see, friends, character has to do with who you are at the core. You are not what you think, but you are what you think is what you are. I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but that's true. And you and God alone know that. You and God alone know that. Observation three. Christian character. Christian character, I love this, is about what you do. Christian character is about what you do. Now, character implies a consistency in what I am and what I do, and what is in my heart and what I daily act out in my daily life. Look what James chapter 2, verse 26 says. And I like this passage because I quote it a lot. James 2, 26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Whew. That speaks a lot. Friends, character is a matter of what we say and what we do and being consistent. Character is a matter of what we say and what we do and being consistent. Lisa said it best last night. You know, if we are what we claim to be, if we are consistently following Jesus Christ and doing things the right way, there should be almost 100% of the time that we should never have to go to Him for forgiveness. I liked it how she said that last night. That was a lot of meat to bring to the core. If our character is what we are, then we should not be what we used to be. Because again, that's why I say character is a matter of what we say and what we do and being consistent. I'm hoping now with the changes that's been enlightened to me, that the things that God has shown me, I'm hoping now to remain consistent. Not how I used to be wavering, wishy-washy, back and forth. You know, if you want to say it, this is how I was moving, like this all the time. Now, I'm hoping to be moving like this. Y'all remember, I don't know if you remember this actor way back in 2002 called Winona Ryder. I don't know if y'all remember that. I do because, hey, I'm old. But maybe you know her, or maybe you don't. She's an actress. And she was videotaped stealing merchandise from an exclusive department in Los Angeles. She got caught. She was a well-known actor. She should have been living up to her character, but yet she was caught making all the millions. I don't know why, but she was caught stealing. She was arrested, tried, and given probation and community service. And after the trial, which I found very interesting, and I went back and looked at it, I found very interesting after the trial, the prosecutor, he had this following comment to say about her. Listen to what he said before all the TV cameras. And this really dumbfounded me. He said, "This case was never about personal character, but about personal conduct." Wow. Friends, you cannot separate the two. You can't. Many people have tried and they failed. Character is consistency, predictability. It is your walking matching your talk. We know the saying, if you walk the walk, can someone type it real fast so I can see it? We should be... Don't be afraid. I know Lisa's going to type it. Talk the talk. If your character is claiming to be a follower of Christ, if we're walking the walk, we should be talking the talk. It isn't what we do once in a while, my friends. No, that's not what it is. Not what we do whenever we feel like it. or when it's to our advantage. That's not what character is all about. Just because when I am home, but this, I wrote it this way, just because I can go home and whip up a batch of cookies, that does not make me a baker. Just because I can make cookies does not make me a baker. Just because you can fry chicken does not make you a chicken man. Sorry. Even a broken clock, my friends, is right twice a day. Character day in, day out, consistently. Character day in, day out, consistently. It is daily walking your talk. Daily walking your talk. I had to look at a lot of things at myself. I had to do a lot of examination. And a lot of my friends here in town, when I stepped out of some positions in church, and I was talking to a lady, she said, I hadn't seen you at the church recently. I hadn't seen you in a year. Well, we had this pandemic going on, so I said, ma'am, well, it's been because of this pandemic, but, you know, unfortunately, I've not been there, but I just been at home. And she said, well, what you been doing? I said, you know what? I found my true character. And she looked at me like, what? I said, yeah, I see that puzzled look in your face. I said, ma'am, what happened? During the time, during these lockdowns, and the self-isolation. Guess what? I got into this more. And I started examining my character. And God showed me some things that was not right. My talk, my attitude, my behaviors, things I was saying and posting, things I was telling other people. I was not who I was. I was not. I thought I was doing all this for the glory of God. But I was only glorifying myself. I realized then, I would say probably about near a year now, things had to change. I want my character to demonstrate what I claim to be. If I'm walking the walk, I need to be talking that talk. That's why now it is a daily walking in my talk. Because like I said, even a broken clock is right twice a day. That's why these last three messages, folks, was personal. Because it was about me. This wasn't aimed at nobody else. If anybody who were here live, or if anybody who listened to this, and I see the hit counts on it, has been convicted, then I think it's something between you and God it's going to have to work on. I'm not here to convict you. I'm just here to present the message. And this is why in ABCs, character is so important for us. So in closing, I said this. If your attitudes and behavior is right with God, then your Christian character will show it. So why is that so important? Why is your Christian character so important? Simple. It's because within each of us, there is two very real possibilities. Two very real possibilities. The first one is, there is that person that one is born to be. That person that God alone knows that one can be. And I love the thought that I asked you earlier, that we use this. And I love the thought, and now I meditate on it consistently. If one could see himself as God sees him, he will rise up and never be the same again. I wish more people out there would take the heart to this. I wish more people would see themselves as God sees them so they can rise up and never be the same again. There is that person that God sees, that potential, the possibility. The second real possibility is, then there is that person that I am naturally inclined to be. Like I said, first one, there's the second one. So the second one is, I am that person that I am naturally inclined to be. And because of man's nature and the influence of sin in our lives, each of us has a certain bent, and that bent is a bit crooked. There is that tendency to follow the path of least resistance, which, of course, is what makes both men and river crooked. Between those two, I know God wants me to be and knows that I can be and whom I am personally inclined to be, that I discover my character. If you are a person of character, you have to go against those natural desires. And look, folks, we all know Paul's struggles in the book of Romans. We all have those struggles, don't we? Character is doing what is right when you want to do what is wrong. Character is doing what is right when you want to do wrong. Wow. It's doing good when there's nothing tangible to gain. It's loving through it results in personal loss. It's hanging in there when it hurts. It's faithfulness, even in the face of frustration. The struggle between what we want to do and what we will do must be controlled by God's Holy Spirit. Has to be controlled by God's Holy Spirit. And His will, God's will, must take priority over my will, if I am to be a person of God's true character. My character determines and dictates those choices that it has to be. It has to be. It has to be God's way only. Not my way. Not my desires. Not my needs. Not my wants. My character has to be God's way, the only way. We know the famous quote in John chapter 14, verse 6, when Jesus says that I am the truth, the way, and the life, that no one can come through the Father except through me. Well, that's why I kind of, and I know I'm not taking away from Scriptures. Please don't even think, well, that's Jumbo trying to take away from Scriptures. No, I use that passage because, again, that I have to be sure that God's way is the truth, and I cannot go nowhere except through Christ Himself. My character determines those choices. Again, that God, it has to be your way. Oh, I can allow myself to get into a lot of things and think of a lot of things and do a lot of things and say a lot of things. But then as I start examining, you know, if I see myself, if God sees me, well, God sees me as I should be at the moment. No. But am I getting better? Yeah. But like I said, folks, character determines and dictates that those choices has to be God's way. Why? Why? Very simple. We must remember that character-based choices we make every day will be exposed in the tomorrow of our lives. There's no way around it. We will reap what we sow. No way around it. You will reap what you sow. You may not see it right then. It may not happen anytime soon. And I'm reminded of a movie I watched. I forgot the name of it, but I know what the character said. Payment. It's always come due. Payment is always come due. You may not pay for it now, but you will pay for it later. And I was convicted of a sermon a couple weeks ago. Man, look, it hit me to the core. And I love how the gentleman put it. He said this, you know, whenever we do go to God and ask for forgiveness of sins, you better understand one important factor in asking for forgiveness of those sins. Because sometimes God does not remove the penalty of those sins. He may forgive you, but he's not going to remove the penalty. Goodness. My goodness. That hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh my goodness. See, I used to think, you know, hey, if I boo-booed, made a sin, oh yeah, I can ask for a quick forgiveness, be done with. And I went and looked it up. I did some good research and I said, well, maybe this guy's off base. Not according to this, he's not. When you ask for forgiveness, sometimes, my friends, the penalty of that sin is not removed. You will reap what you sow. Pay me now or pay me later. So, what do you want to be? After hearing this message, I hope more than anything else, it is to be like Jesus. That must be the goal of every Christian. Those of you who's been in our Bible studies, you know where I've been going with John chapter 15. And we've been learning who are the true believers and who are not. Those who are in the vine, those who are not. Those who are abiding, those who are not. I hope after you have heard this message, you want to be more like Jesus and realize, you know what, maybe there's some changes that needs to be made in my life. Maybe I need to do a walkabout, as I call it, a spiritual walkabout. And that's what I told the lady. I said, lady, I've been on a spiritual walkabout for a year, and I saw things I did not like. We have to be like Jesus. That should be our goal. Why? Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says. And this is a wonderful passage, folks. And we all, with the unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I leave you with this. Those of you who's listening, I leave you with this. The choice, and every choice, is determined by your character. Who you are and what you're going to be. Who you are and what you're going to be. Your character right now dictates that. Which character are you? Because like I said, if you see yourself as God sees you, you will stand up and rise. The reason why I'm saying this, folks, like that guy said, everything was in his favor. He could have won the game, but he can never get back a bad character. He can never get the right character back if he owned up to it. Character is precious. It's precious. Precious like gold. It is critical. It is crucial. And if you wear the Christian name right now, if you wear the Christian name the right way, please listen. If you wear the Christian name the right way, don't do anything to damage it or lose it. Don't damage it. Don't lose it. Amen. Let's pray.